Hey everyone, welcome to episode 75, I think it is. This always happens. I just realized I've messed something up since I started the audio, but I'm going to have to go with it. Now I won't be able to see, I don't think I'll be able to see anybody's chat on the video. Went to the wrong place. What am I trying to say right now? I'll check it from time to time, but I'm going to be looking on the computer I'm recording on for my notes. So, because of trying to minimize glare issues, because all the audio listeners were complaining that there's a huge glare in my glasses. So I'm trying to cut that down for the audio version. Get this mic out of the way a little bit. Okay. And the good news is you're fired. The good news is we're starting we're finishing 2 Samuel today. Even though the reading, we weren't due to finish it. We were due to leave one chapter and then finish it next time. But I was like, I'm not going to leave one chapter of this book. I'm going to finish this crappy book. So that's what happened. I don't know if you can... Cat is whining like crazy. I don't know why. I hope you can hear that. Kitty! I'll try to get him on camera if he comes over here, but he doesn't like me because I don't like him. We don't like each other. Cat, shut up! He pretends like he doesn't understand what I'm saying, which is just really frustrating. So I know he does. All right, let's get into what we're actually doing, which is the Bible. So this is 2 Samuel 21. Then there was a bad start. Gotta get some water. sorry about that. Take two. Then there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year. It's kind of year after year. Since it was only 3 years, you might as well say year after year after year, right? There's no, why did they cut it off after that? Anyway, I didn't think of that till I just read it. And David inquired of the Lord. And the Lord answered, "It is for Saul and his bloody house because he slew the Gibeonites." Right away, already awesome. Because he slew the Gibeonites. So, like, one of the commentators, there's one that's like, seems to be kind of honest. I don't know. It is weird. I'm not sure I trust him, but, you know, he's probably working toward something, plotting something. But no, he's honest, and he says, no such fact is mentioned in the life and the transactions of Saul, nor is there any reference to it in any other part of Scripture. So that's, the guy just says, like, I don't know what David's talking about here. He sounds delusional. But I love that. It's such a great system. There's a big famine, right? And all you need to do is just say, like, all right, guys, I talked to God about the famine. I know you're all dying and everything. I asked God. Here's what he said. The Johnson kid's been masturbating too much. That's so... We're going to... The Johnson kid. I swear to God, first name that came to my mind. I don't know why. I didn't mean to do that. Yeah, the Johnson kid, Johnson kid over there was Johnson. He's been masturbating too much, just excessively. So that's why there's a famine. You can just make up anything you want. Hey, I talked to God, the famine. Lots of people have been double parking. You know, just anything. Just, you know, someone spoiled the Star Wars movies for me before I'd seen them the other day. So God says there's a famine. When you're in control and you're the only one who talks to God, it must be pretty cool. So, he says that it's... supposedly God just decided to have a famine now when he hadn't before because of something Saul did years ago. Just like, oh, I forgot. God's like, guys, I've been meaning to have a famine, but I just forgot. You know, I got busy, whatever. You know, sometimes famine, it's not easy, you know. And I planned it, and then I that page in my planner got water on it. I spilled coffee on it, so I forgot about that. I missed it. But anyway, here's the famine that you were due from before. So that's that. So that's the beginning there. That was one verse. We'll go on to verse 2. And the king called to the Gibeonites and said unto them, parentheses, now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but were of the remnant of the Amorites. And the children of Israel had sworn unto them. Excuse me. And Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, What shall I do for you, and wherewith shall I make the atonement, that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord? And the Gibeonites are like, well, Johnson kids stop masturbating so much. That's the problem. Just get that Johnson kids Johnson taken care of, and we'll be fine. And the Gibeonites said unto him, we will have no silver nor gold of Saul, but shitloads of bronze. Nor of his house. Neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel. And he said, what ye shall say that I will do for you? And they answered the king, the man that consumed us and that devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coasts of Israel, let 7 men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I will give them. So that's interesting. So they say, to appease the Gibeonites, he's like, so what do you guys need? Can I get you anything? You okay? We want to get rid of this famine. So anything we could do. And they said, well, you could give us 7 of Saul's sons to murder. He's like, all right. Yeah, okay. 7? Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's yeah, I'll do that. No debate there, really. So, obviously, David must have known this could happen, right? I didn't really get into, I didn't do any research on if anyone gives a shit about this little occurrence, but he had to have known this, right? Because David goes, okay, start with let's start with item 1. There's not actually a God who's talking to them. So, therefore, the way he must have come to this decision was just to pick something that Saul did that, it's naturally he's not going to say it's anything he did, So he's going to blame God's little famine on Saul. But he must have known ahead of time that, or maybe, who knows, maybe he planned with the Gibeonites. Was like, look, I'm going to blame this whole... What if it was the politics then were a lot like politics now, where really I don't think we have any idea of what's really going on, and it's all kind of behind closed doors. And maybe he talked to the Gibeonites ahead of time and were like, listen, I got this famine thing. We're trying to paint this famine on something else. I don't want people to start blaming me. So we're going to say it's Saul's fault for killing you guys. Now, I'm going to ask you what you need, what demands you have, and I'm going to give them to you. So I bet you they coordinated it down. And then who knows, maybe they started at 10 sons. They're like, I want 10 sons and 4 daughters. And they're like, well, let's just go 5 sons, final offer. And they negotiated into 7 sons. Otherwise, I think there'd be more haggling, but no. Holy crap, 3 viewers. Those must be fake. Where did I stop? Oh, but the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. Thank you for clarifying. But the king took the 2 sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, whom she bare unto Saul, Armoni, Armoni with an O, so that's interesting, and Mephibosheth, and the 5... What? I thought they saved Mephibosheth. She bare unto Saul, Armoni, and Mephibosheth. And the 5 sons of Michal, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Mehelthite. And he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Lord. And they fell all 7 together, and were put to death in the days of the harvest, in the first days, and beginning of the barley harvest. And it made no difference on the famine. I wish they had that sentence. I mean, I'm sure it didn't, obviously. Why would... I love how I just said, this is how pervasive this culture is. I just said, I'm sure it didn't have any effect. Like, yeah, I know it didn't have any effect, but I still feel like the Bible was going to say it did, So I think that's why I hesitated, but I think I was afraid the next sentence I read was going to be, and it had a great effect on the famine. Tons of famine was gone. There was a lot less famine. And Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, took the sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven, and suffered neither birds nor birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor beasts of the sea. No, wrong. It's beasts of the field by night. And it was told David what Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, the concubine of Saul, had done. And David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan his son from the men of Jabesh Gilead, which had stolen them from the street of Bethshan, where the Philistines had hanged them when the Philistines had slayed Saul in Gilboa. And he brought them from thence, the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan his son, and they gathered the bones of them that were hanged, and the bones of Saul and Jonathan his son buried they. Tricky. Can't say they buried them. They have to say buried they in the country of Benjamin in Zela or something. In the sepulcher of Kish, his father. And they performed all that the king commanded. And after that, God was entreated for the land. Okay. So, yeah, it's great. Everything's great because they killed some people. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. And David waxed faint. And Ishbim... Oh, this is awesome. This is the best name to ever happen. I-S-H-B-I-B-E-N-O-B. B-N-O-B. Bring your own beer. What is that? Ishbib... Ich bin ein Berliner. Ishbibenabab. Wow, that's really hard. Ishbibenab. That sounds like something I call Mr. Kitty. Ishbibenab. Oh, come here, little Ishbibenab. Ishbibenab, where are you? No, he doesn't answer to Ishbibenab, apparently. Not gonna humor me with a meow or anything. God. He knows he's doing it. He knows he could have meowed right there to support me in my comedy attempts, but he's like, oh, you know what I'm going to do? Not meow. I'm definitely going to not meow or come over here. Because that would be what he'd want me to do. I love him. I hate him. I both those things with Mr. Kitty. Now where am I? Now that I've got this, this system isn't going to work for the next episode. I just thought I'd try it to get rid of the glare, but now I get lost every time as I pan over. Anyway, moreover the... I read that. That's right. I was on Ishbibenab. Oh, Ishbibenab. Where's that Mr. Ishbibenab? You guys think I'm nuts now? Well, I am nuts. If nuts means I love my Mr. Kitty and I hate my Mr. Kitty. Anyway, Ishbibenab, which was of the sun. It really does sound like a pet name for a cat. Which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight. And he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swear unto him, saying, thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. And it came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Job, I guess. Or it could be Gob. I don't know. I said Job because of Arrested Development. It's G-O-B, but actually it's probably Gob. I don't know why it would be Job. And then good old Arrested Development. That's coming back. I can't freaking wait. Then Sibichai, this Hushathite. Let's hear more about Ishbibenabab. Where is he? No, he's not here. Then a Bethlehemite slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. And you know how some sort of quality those weaver's beams are. Oh boy, are they whatever quality they're hoping that we would know from that description. Mm-hmm, yes, sir. It was as whatever as a weaver's beam is. That's how something it was. That's, yeah. I just love these similes or whatever that are completely lost on us. Oh, yeah, man. That staff, was it as small as a weaver's beam? I don't know. Like, a weaver's beam is pretty... it sounds like some tiny thing that they weave the threads with. I have no idea. But apparently it's a giant, so... Or I think it's a giant. So maybe weaver's beams are huge. I don't know, but it's just funny that we don't know what, you know, How, you know, so it's as whatever as a weaver's beam is whatever. And there was yet a battle in Gath, where a man of great stature that had on every hand 6 fingers and every foot 6 toes and 24, and on every arm he had 6 arms and on every, he's just 6 of everything, 6 heads. Every hair was 6 hairs. So he had roughly 6 times the number of hairs that he had. Also, he was born to the giant. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimeah, the brother of David, slew him. These 4 were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Okay, so this is funny. I think what happened is, I think they had a meeting and were like, ah, look, David, your popularity has taken a huge hit after the whole rebellion and the whole second rebellion and probably a third. I don't know. I've lost track of how many rebellions there were. We need to get you back to why the people loved you in the first place. You know, that's stories of questionable authenticity about you beating slightly large people, as in David and Goliath. So like any good or bad sequel, more appropriately, they decided instead of one giant, there's going to be like 4 giants. And this time there's going to be way more fighting and action. It's going to be everything from the first movie that you didn't like put into one movie. And it's going to start off, where's the, you know, the David and Goliath 1, which is, we now know it as, because, you know, before the sequel came out, it was just David and Goliath. But now it's like David and Goliaths. 2 David, 2 Goliath. You know, the stupid sequel names. 2 David, 2 Goliath. Yeah, number 2 David, number 2. Anyway. yeah, that was where the first one, David and Goliath 1, which everyone loved. Like, that's universally a good movie. That one was slow moving, you know, cerebral, very, you know, it's very psychological, you know, is he going to fight this giant? How's this going to work? You know, and then there's like 1 good fight scene at the end where the giant happens and that's it. But then when they make the sequel, 2 David, 2 Goliath, or it's like David 4 Goliath, although that'll be the 4th one, obviously, but still there are 4 giants now, I think. It's going to start off with a car chase, you know, like it's right off the bat. The movie, it's every sequel is like that. It's like, okay, this one's going to be more car chases, even if it's like the original movie was The English Patient. This is the timely reference. The sequel is like, okay, this one's going to start off with a car chase, and then there's going to be 27 more car chases, and it's going to end with a foot chase to a car chase. And like the very beginning, there'll be I think I lost a viewer. I don't know, I shouldn't pay attention to that number, but someone came on and was just like, what the hell is he talking about? Yeah, you know, like the very beginning of the movie, it's going to be shaking. You're going to have no freaking idea what's happening. The camera. I love that handheld. It's not just handheld camera technique. It's this. You can't see. Those of you who aren't watching can't see this. It's not just like, I don't know who the asshole was who invented handheld camera. It makes me sick. Like, it's every action movie now is like, the cameraman's in the middle of the fight. Like, he's doing this with a camera. It's like, I understand you want to, yeah, anyway. So, what the hell was I talking? Oh, that was the end of that chapter. So, we're going to chapter 22. So, yeah, the sequel, it's like they had a meeting and we're like, you know, this is what we're going to do. Because all of a sudden, there's 4 giants for no reason that weren't there before. Anyway, this is chapter 22. And this one, unlike other chapters, is just totally boring. No, it's just a prayer that David says, or a song. Yeah, I'm not gonna give him the, you know, pleasure of having me sing their terrible song. I'm going to not sing it. Maybe we'll see how far I get without singing it. And David spoke unto the Lord the words of. I'm just gonna fast forward through this one because it's stupid. And then when you guys fast forward me, it'll be like even faster than fast forward. David spake unto the Lord the words of the song of the day, and the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid, the sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord, and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was... I don't know why he decided to sing this song. He's just like... Along with the sequel that they're releasing, he decided to, you know, he's like, you know, we should release, this will be the title song from the sequel. It'll be like the credit sequence, because we want to try to win the Oscar for best original song in a soundtrack or whatever. I don't know why he's singing this to us. What does that have to do with anything? I don't know. I guess I don't read this terrible crap. If I skipped like seven lines, you guys wouldn't even know, so I'm gonna not do that. I'll be honest. Let's see. I'll try not to skip. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth, to fire cold rekindled. And he bowed in the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly, and was seen upon the wings of the wind, and he made darkness pavilions around him, darkness wandered his things in the skies. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. I already said that before. But that was through his nostrils. So he's kindling coal out of his nostrils and his, like, eyes or something. I don't know. There's a lot of coal around back then, just hanging out. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice, and he sent out arrows and scattered them, lighting and discomfited them. And the channels of the sea appeared, and the foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord and the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from above, took me, and drove me out of the memory. God, this thing's not even close to ending, by the way. We're like a third of the way done with the song. Oh, man, I don't know if I can do this. Sorry. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those that hated me, those too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me, and this is all song, by the way. Nothing's rhymed so far. This is no kind of song that I've ever heard of. The Lord rewarded me with according. I've only heard of songs that rhyme. The Lord with my righteousness, according to the cleanness. I said cleanliness because I was correcting it, but no, it's cleanness. According to the cleanness of my hands, hath he recompensed me, for I have kept the ways of the Lord. No, you haven't, you BSer. He has not done that. He's been bad many times, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me. Yeah, it's easy to just say this. Like, yeah, I've been great all my life. For all his judgments were before me, and as for statutes. Sorry, I read that as statuses, because thinking of God's Facebook statuses. I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him. I never commented anything bad on God's kind of, like, annoying statuses, because, you know, he's had a few that were just really annoying. Like, God's totally vague poking. God's like, oh, this is a great day. And then you're like, what? What happened? Can you just tell me with your original status, God? Come on. Therefore, the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness. I keep doing that. In his eyesight. We are like halfway done with the song. God, I don't know. I don't know if I can do it. With all, with the merciful, thou wilt shew thyself merciful, and with the upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. And with the downright man, you will show yourself downright. With the pure, thou wilt shew thyself pure, and with the froward. Oh, that's weird. It's actually froward, like forward, but with the R's and the O's transposed. At first, I thought I was dyslexic, but it's froward. And with the froward and the frenature, thou wilt shew thyself unsavory. And the afflicted people wilt thou save, but thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. At this point, the Lord has left. Like, the Lord's like, oh yeah, just keep singing your song. I'll be here. I'm totally listening. You know, if my eyes close, I'm just focusing harder on your song. That's what's happening there. So just keep singing. It's good. It's great. I've already got the melody, or the lack of melody, stuck in my head. Yeah, God, there's no way God's sitting through this whole song. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He's a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? That's a funny sentence. Yeah, guys, who is God save the Lord? Like, who's God except for the Lord? He's, man, I had never thought of that argument. If he's not God, then who is? No one. Who's God besides the Lord? No one, just the Lord. Who is Rock save our God? Well, there's the Rock. He's also Rock, but God is my strength and power. But except for that one example, you're totally right. And he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds feet, and settleth me on my high places, my high horse. He teacheth me my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of my salvation. And thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and destroyed them, and turned not again until I had consumed them. Ugh. And I have consumed them and wounded them, that they could not arise. Yea, they are fallen under my feet. God at this point is thinking, like, this song about me is a lot about you right now. Like, I gotta say, this is not really... I thought this was my tribute song. This is just a tribute. For that, David started this with, "This is the greatest and best song in the world." Tribute. "For thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me have thou hast subdued under me. Thou hast also given me necks of mine enemies, that I may destroy them that hate me. They looked, but there was none to save, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I..." We're almost done, guys, with this chapter. "Then did I beat as small as dust of the earth. I did stamp them as the mire of the street, and did spread them abroad. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of my people, and hast kept me to be head of the heathen, a people which I knew shall not serve me." "Strangers shall submit themselves to me. As soon as they hear, they shall be obedient unto me. Strangers shall fade away, and they shall be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is God that has avenged me, and bringeth down the people under me, and that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me, for thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, among..." What? Did you say my name? Oh, yeah. No, I heard the whole song. The whole song. Yeah, everything. It was great. No, you don't need to play it again. It was a fantastic... You know, I still hear it. I still hear it. If you play it again, it would ruin it, because different parts of the song will clash, because I have it really strongly in my head from intently listening to it just now. That's what the Lord said. "And I will sing praises unto my name. He is the tower of salvation for his king, and he sheweth mercy to his anointed, unto David, to his seed forevermore." Oh, God, we're done with that stupid one. Oh, I gotta take a second. Tribute. Okay, now we're on 23, and we only have one more after this. Thank the Lord. Okay, I gotta look at my notes here. Yeah. "Now these be the last words of David." Oh, God, please let that be true. Please let these be the next... Can we just move? I mean, honestly, David wasn't as bad as most of the other ones. Like, he had his moments. I mean, just in terms of being interesting. He's gay, so that's interesting for the Bible, for biblical times. He had some weird crap. I don't remember. Honestly, I already blocked it. And I'm fighting another yawn. Oh, God. It's weird. Something about it. Something about the Bible just makes me do it. I only yawn like a tenth as much as I want to yawn, too. Like, I'm constantly like, oh, I gotta not yawn. That's bad, bad potting. But sometimes it's so bad. No yawn. Where's that cat? Where's my Babin? I already forget the name. Ish Bibbid Bad. Ish Binaben. Boo. I don't know where he is. Okay. So these be the alleged last words of David. I don't buy it, but... We'll see. "David, the son of Jesse, said, And the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. And the God of Israel said, The rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning, when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, And sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. But the sons of Belial shall, Belial shall be all of them as thorns thrust away, because they cannot be taken with hands. But the man that shall touch them must be fenced with iron and the staff of a spear, and they shall be utterly burned with fire in the same place. These be the names of the mighty... Here we go, names. These be the names of the mighty men of David. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino, the Esnite. He lift up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. Yeah, 800 at a time. I'm sure that's totally true. 100% true. It might have even been more than that. That's how true it was. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite. Ahohite. That's a weird one. A-H-O-H-I-T-E. Ahohite. Ahohite. One of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together in battle, and the men of Israel were gone away, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agee, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. The people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and he ate every last one of those lentils and slew the Philistines. And the Lord was wrought a great victory. And the three of the 30 chief... What? And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time under the cave of Adullam. So I guess they're going to war again. I honestly lost track of what's even happening right now. It's some weird... I thought he was saying his last words... Raised up, God's almost, Spirit of God's big move. But I don't know what he just did. I think he went to war again. And David longed. So now he's like in a cave or something, and three brave men come to David. And he's like, hey, boys, what are three brave men like you doing in a cave like this? And David was then in a hold, and the garrison, okay, he's in a hold in a garrison, whatever. He's in a garrison keeler. That was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men broke through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did the three mighty men. You know, I would argue that since it is the blood of men who bravely went and got you a glass of water when you said that you didn't, you know, when you said like, man, I'm dying for a glass of water. Three brave men went and killed people and got it. And then he said like, man, people risk their lives for this. I will not drink it. Like, because that, I would argue that you should drink it when if I go kill myself to get someone a glass of water, they had better freaking be drinking that water. That's all I have to say. That's a weird thought to have. Like, oh, I don't want to drink this. People almost died for it. Let's make it worthless so that if any had died, it would be for nothing. I need a yawn button that just like resets the recording back a few seconds. And Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief among the three. And he lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them. Sorry, just checking my notes. Okay, yeah. Threw and slew them. And the name, and had the name among three. Was he not most honorable of the three? Therefore, he was their captain. Why are they asking me? I don't know. Was he the most honorable or wasn't he? Bible, you tell me. Don't ask me things. I don't know anything. Therefore he was their captain. Howbeit he attained not unto the first three. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man, Eddie Valiant, of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab, and ran down and also slew a lion in the midst of a pit of in time of snow. And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man, and the Egyptian, that should be points against him, right? And the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and slew him with his own spear. These things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among three mighty men. He was more honorable than the 30, but he attained not to the first three. And David set him over his guard. And Asahel, the brother of Joab, was one of the 30. And he's just there because he knows the right people. The first two were like, oh, he killed 900 men at one time and ate them. And the next one was like, this guy, he shot an arrow and it went through a guy's spear long ways and then went into the guy. And that's how he killed him. And then the third guy, it's like, and then he just knew the right people. He just, honestly, the third one was all politics. I don't know why he's in these three. No, that's not what it says. It does just say Asahel, the brother of Joab, was one of the 30. Oh, that's the 30. I'm sorry. I totally messed that up. Whatever. Well, the joke still applies, but to the last one they mentioned. So forget all that. Elhanan, the son of Dodo of Bethlehem. Shammah the Herodite. Elika the Herodite. Helez the Pela. Oh, these are just names now, so I can skip the rest of this. Iris, son of Tikkath. Abijah the Abathite. Salmon the Ahavite. Maharel the Netophite. Heleb the son of Bana. Netophite. Ittai the son of Ribai. Out of Gibeah, the children of Benjamin. Benaiah the Pethanite. Hittai the brooks of Gath. This is all just nonsense. Abielbon the Arbathite. Asmaveth the Barhumite. Eliabah the Shalbanite. The sons of Samson the Samsonite. And the sons of Jashin the Jonathan Shermahite. I'm not even reading English anymore. Eliphelet. An epithet. The son of Ahazbi. The son of Machrite. Eliam the son. This doesn't matter. All right, I'm done. 30 and 7 and all. There are a bunch of names. Blah, 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 names. Okay. So this is the last chapter. Okay, chapter 24. This is the last chapter of the book. We're moving on to a new book after this. So, and again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, as is the case at all times. That is a sentence that can go in the beginning of any verse, and I'll believe it. Again, he was mad at Israel, because he's mad at them roughly twice a day for something. And he moved David against them to say, go number Israel. Wait, what? Oh, man, I just noted that makes this next part even dumber. I didn't notice the subtle wording at first, but the Lord gets mad at Israel, and he made David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. For the king said to Joab, the captain of the host, which was with him, go now through all the tribes of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, and number ye the people, that I may know the number of the people. Seems reasonable. And Joab said unto the king, Now the Lord, thy God, add unto the people, how many soever they be, an hundredfold, and that the eyes of my lord the king may not see it. But why doth the Lord king delight in this thing? Notwithstanding, the king's word prevailed against Joab. So Joab was trying to talk him out of numbering the people, and you'll find out possibly why later. Let's see. And against the captains of the host, and Joab and the captains of the host, went out from the presence of the king to number the people of Israel. And they passed over Jordan and pitched in Aroer on the right side of the city that lieth in the midst of the river of Gad toward Jazer. Then they came to Gilead and to the land of Tachmidashai. I just made a bunch of weird sounds so that it would sound like I knew what I was saying. Oh yeah, Tachmidashai. Like, if you say it decisively, people will think you know that language. Yeah, they went down to Tachmedoshtai. I don't even know if I'm reading the right thing, but that sounded... Didn't that sound... Oh, yeah, they went down, you know, they took a left, then they ended up at Tachmedoshtai. Like, that totally seems like I know what I'm saying. I have no idea what I'm saying. And they came to Danjal. Just pick a weird accent to go with. Danjal. That was kind of French. And about to Zidon. Yeah. And came to a stronghold of Tyre, and to all the cities of the Hivites and the Canaanites, and they went out to the south of Judah, even to Beersheba. So when they had gone through all the land, They came to Jerusalem at the end of 9 months and 20 days. And Joab gave the sum of the people. So all that's happening is he's going through and counting people. That's it. Gave the sum of the number of the people under the king. And there were in Israel 800,000 valiant men who drew the sword. And the men of Judah were 500,000 men. And David's heart smote him after he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in what I have done. And now beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant. So apparently you aren't allowed to count your people or something. Somehow that's a sin, like that was a bad thing that he did. But I didn't notice until I was just reading it here with you guys live in front of one viewer on Ustream. I didn't notice that God had originally made him do that. So God gets mad at David. And so God causes, so he decides, I'm going to make David do something sinful that is only sinful because of no reason. Like he just decided it was. And then, so David does. And then David's apologizing. He's like, oh, what have I done? Who can read this book and think this is anything? Like, so he makes him sin. And it's not even a sin. I'm just dumbfounded. I don't even know what to say. I wish I had discovered that the first time because I would have prepared something to say. I didn't see that little bit that said God moved him to do this. So he comes to God and is like, man, I've been sinning. God's like, I know. believe me. and David said unto the Lord, I've sinned greatly. And I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the... Oh, yeah, I read that. So he's like, do whatever. I've done foolishly. For when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I will offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came. So he's like choosing his punishment for something he didn't even do, that God made him do. So Gad came to David and told him, and said unto him, shall 7 years of famine come to the end of thy land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies, while they pursue thee? Or, that there be 3 days pestilence in the land? Now advise, and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. Oops. So he pretty much said, like, look, I can't choose. I just let God choose the one that he sees fit. Then, of course, God's like, whoa, yes, I'm choosing the worst one. There, he's getting the... I'm giving everyone anal lice. Which I just made up. I don't know if that's real, but everyone's getting that right. That's what God chose. No, I'm just pretending I don't know that that's real. Yeah, I've definitely never had that. And Gad came. So then to continue this weird story, keep in mind, this is like almost the end of David's masterworks, which I guess is Samuel's masterworks because it's still 2 Samuel, but this is like the end of this, and this is how he's doing it. It just seems really boring. So where am I? So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed, and there died of the people from Dan to Beersheba 70,000 men. Wait a minute. How did they know how many people died unless they counted them? Oh, send on another pestilence. Not allowed to count your dead. Sorry. Try again. This time the punishments will be even worse. So you can't count anybody. That's against the law. And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. And Araunah looked and saw that the king and his servants coming on, and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Araunah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Araunah said, wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, to buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And this guy said, that makes no sense. How is a threshing floor going to help a plague? That's not scientific at all. And no, he said to David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice and threshing instruments and other instruments of the oxen for wood.
Last time, I promise.
The last one, because we're almost done. All these things did Araunah, as a king give unto the... Maybe I have some medical condition, because I'm really... Every time I yawn, I feel bad about it. I'm not trying to. I'm not, like, trying to be cool, like, I'm bored. Listen to me yawn. I really don't want anyone to hear me yawn. I can't help it when I'm reading this. Like, it just literally has to happen. And maybe it's because I always have to do this podcast, like, after dinner. That could be part of it. But it just... I can't. I try to stop it, and then my face blows up. It's like... It's that boring. Okay, so all that's happening here in this terribly boring book is that David's, like, trying to make amends. So he's like, I need to buy a threshing floor so I can make a bunch of sacrifices and make this right. And the guy, some guy owns a threshing floor, and he's like, oh, okay, here you go. And, my music is going, though you guys can't hear it. And Araunah said unto David, Let my lord the king take and offer what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice and threshing instruments. I already read that. All a couple of seconds of my life, I'll never get back. All these things did Araunah the king give unto the king. And Araunah said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Araunah, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So that's a decent thing to do. He's saying, no, that's on me because, this plague was my fault, so I'm going to buy everything. David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. Of course, he totally ripped him off. Having saying that, he completely hosed him on the deal. he's just like, no, this is my responsibility. I will buy it from you. Here's 20 bucks for your whole land. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. That's the end. So that's how David or Samuel, whoever, ends their book. That was it. I could have thought of a billion better ways to end the stupid book than that. Wasn't that really lame? I mean, nothing happened. He made him sin, and then he sinned, and then he's like, crap, and so he bought a floor and made a sacrifice. Boring. So that's the reading for this week. And that one. But we finished that book, so we're going on to 1 Kings, which sounds hopefully more interesting. Anything to say? Not enough Moses. There hasn't been Moses forever. So thank you, you, for watching. Don't know if you want me to say your name or not, because last time I said someone's name, I got in a little bit of trouble. I didn't know they used their actual name, like their full, their sign in, their login name was like their full first, last, middle name, mother's maiden name, and social security number. That was their username, and I read it. I guess that person was not happy. I'm sorry about that. I didn't think of it. I just read it. Anyway, that was last 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, as usual, iTunes reviews. Thank you very much. Please give me more of those because they're awesome. And please check out F This Podcast, which we didn't do last week, but Sam's really busy. But we're not letting that one die. We're really enjoying doing it. It's just we're battling to find the time. But it's still there, and it's still good. Yeah, check me out on Facebook, facebook.com/TandTheB. And I'll see you next week with a fresh new book. No, not really. Not a fresh new book. A fresh new crappy part of... I mean, it's technically a book of the Bible. But anyway, enough talking. All right. See you guys later.